And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network. Pete Gray here with Rock God Rick Mexa. We're live at the world headquarters for Let's Talk Hookup here in Point Loma with Captain Ken Franke from the Sport Fishing Association of California. We have Adam Klug, the boss there at the Fan, program director, run the board for us. He's run the phones, he's run the board, so be patient with Adam, okay? He's doing a great job, and we want to thank all the people at the Fan for making it happen, JR and Rob and Peter and of course, most of all, Adam there for coming in Saturday and Sunday and making sure we're here for you, our listeners. But what a great guest. Captain Ken Franke, man, just having a great time, and we're giving away a great prize, too.
Yeah, you're not kidding, man. Like you said, Pete really pulled out all the stops, and we just appreciate keeping everything rolling, and we appreciate you listening. Let's Talk Hookup wouldn't be here without you, the fans, and we appreciate that. And because of that, we are giving away such a killer prize today. One lucky caller at the end of today's show is winning a brand new pair of Maui Jim sunglasses, the local kind, a super popular fishing frame. I've got them myself. I absolutely love them. This one comes with the HT lens, the super thin Maui glass, a great pair of glasses. Giving away to one lucky caller at the end of today's show. Again, if you want to get your opportunity at that killer prize, or better yet, your opportunity to talk to the man of the Sport Fishing Association of California, Ken Franke, give us a call, 833-288-0973. One more time, 833-288-0973. The phones have been absolutely packed, but we've got plenty of time to get your call in.
Yeah, indeed. And those of our normal reporters, like Captain Brian William from Dana Ora Sport Fishing. Brian, we're not going to get a call from them because obviously they're closed, so not much to report from Dana Ora Sport Fishing. But if there are other reporters that normally call us, you're not going to get through on your normal line. So just text me and let me know that you want to get on. So,
we'll
text myself or Ricky. You know the numbers, and we'll get you on.
The lines that we normally have our catch reporters come on are what we're broadcasting on today.
Hopefully next week we're going to change that. We're upgrading our equipment because it looks like we're going to be doing this for a few weeks. So we're going to upgrade the equipment next week and hopefully be able to pull that off a little more smoothly.
I'm just glad we're here, man.
Yeah. And everybody complimented us on how great it sounded. It sounded good, and they said it sounded like you were right in the studio. So glad that's happening here. Hey, Captain Ken, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones. A lot of patient callers for you.
You got it, Hal. How about we jump back in, talk to John. John's calling us from Escondido this morning. Hi, John. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for my weekly picks. And I'm sorry that we don't all get to go out fishing, but my question is, I go out and fish in Mexican waters probably 10 to 15 times a year. Is it beneficial for me to buy the Mexican fishing license and the bracelet so that I don't get charged or when I go out on, multi-day trips?
So if you're going to, if on a personal level, if you're going to go out on a private boat, yeah, get your one-year fishing license, get your one-year,
I don't have a private boat. So all my stuff is, on the Royal Polaris, the Pacific Queen, things like that, the Tomahawk.
Yeah, just get your one-year documents and then show them at the, when you check into the boat.
But the one-year documents are not good for trips 3 days or longer.
Yeah,
right?
the excursion permit piece is the long-range boats actually obtain the documents for that. And we're working on a new process for that right now. So that's unique to the long-range boats.
But if you're on a day-and-a-half trip, a one-day, a two-day, one-year fishing license, Well, if you're on the big boats, if you're going on the Liberty or the San Diego or one of the three-quarter, the full-day boats or a half-day boat and you're fishing in Mexican waters, and you're fishing around the Coronado Islands, you need the passport. But if you're fishing offshore on the Pacific Queen or the Royal Polaris or whatever, you don't need that passport, right,
right,
Ken?
Right. Yeah. That's it.
All right. Very good. Thanks a lot for the phone call.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate it, John. How about next up, we talk to Mark. Mark's calling us from Santee this morning. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Morning.
Great. Buddy. Good morning.
Hey, Ken, I just want to say thanks for all you do for us anglers.
I appreciate it.
And my question is, I've heard that they're trying to extend the seasons for like a rock, you know, the bottom fish. You know, when the season ends, I heard they're trying to extend it. Is that true or not?
Well, what happens is the Pacific Fishery Management Council and NOAA, they take a look at the biomass and stock assessments and a bunch of data points, and then they ultimately will decide based on what's out there, what our seasons are, what our bag limits are, and all that type of stuff. We know we have January and February shut down right now for bottom fishing. At some point in the future, we don't know when, we would, I think everybody hoped to see those reopened. But in the here and now, you know, it's one step at a time. I think the state's looking at deeper depth as the next step. They're doing incremental increases in our access now that the biomass of rockfish is coming back. So one step at a time, but we're getting there.
Yeah,
I mean, we went from 50 to 60 and out of 75 fathoms.
It definitely seems like everything is on the pro side of things as far as, you know, loosening the grip rather than tightening. You know, there's more depth and there's more fish and there's more, you know, there's more take allowed, and it's seems like there's been all, it's been nothing but wins as far as the fisherman goes.
Yeah, it's been and it's based on the science, and our office works very close to collect data and help the Department of Fish and Wildlife submit their recommendations to the council, and then we all testify at the council and get the stock assessments and stuff. So one step at a time, we're getting everything back.
Now, I know you know, this was years ago. You told some stories about driving, like, ROVs with the outer limits. You know, you take the guys out there and put those, you know.
They're still doing it.
I just can't imagine some of the cod spots that you must have seen driving an underwater camera, you know, ROV down there. Like,
I have a black book at home that I will be buried with.
Yeah, closely guarded.
Honestly, when I do speaking engagements, I bring some of the video from the ROV.
Wow.
And we've got video of cow cod schools and vermilion schools that is just mind-blowing.
Wow.
Amazing.
It's almost not fair. And granted, I know that, you know, you have the ability of cherry-picking some killer video, but it's got to be the ultimate just, like, shut the, you know, drop the mic, shut the door kind of thing when on one side when they're having their, you know, their battles of, you know, somebody telling you, you know, a scientist, there's no more fish and the rockfish are all gone, and then you can pop on a video that's got a, you know, 100 calcod stacked up on a single rock, you know.
There was one that I saw that was pretty cool. We had the ROV on the seafloor at the 43 fathom bank, and it looks like underwater sculpture of rock.
Wait.
But then you turn up the camera and up on the surface you see the sunlight. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So cool.
Pretty awesome. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. The 100 fathoms. There's been talk about moving out to 100 fathoms. We're at 75 fathoms now. There's talk about moving out to 100 fathoms.
Well, that is one of the proposals at the council. And over the next two council meetings, we'll see how that plays out.
Wait a minute. Fred?
I think Mark's still on the line, maybe chasing his dog.
Yeah, thanks, Mark, for the call.
Thanks, Mark.
We can go ahead and get rid of it.
But, yeah, that's one of the items that's before the council. So there's a number of things going on. They may reduce the bag limit of vermilion down the road here because of a lack of a stock assessment. But as soon as we get that stock assessment in, then we expect that to hopefully return. But it's tied to 100 fathoms. Giving us more depth would give us the opportunity to fish for other species of fish as well. So it's kind of a win-win almost on that.
What are the council's, like, opinions, and maybe what's your opinion on descending devices? And, you know, like, I don't know, because, you know, it's just a personal thing. Like, I would love to see that be a mandatory thing while fishing for rockfish, but, you know, making that a mandatory thing, like, you know, do something like that. You know, you have the option of now fishing 100 fathoms, and you have the opportunity to fish in a Calcod closure as long as you, you know, can successfully release a fish that you're not targeting. And this is just a personal question, not...
Yeah, sure. Know. Well, in the very beginning when we were doing the descending devices, first of all, we get credit for fish that we release, the Calcod and such. We're getting a percentage credit for that because you're only allowed to catch so many of them, and then you reach this allowable catch limit. But that's been really important and a big factor. The reason we didn't ask for that in the beginning is because we wanted to know for sure who really was using them. We modify the electronic logbooks that our boats use to, you know, to indicate whether or not you're using descending devices. And we just find you can make it a law that you have to have them on every boat. Does that mean they're going to use them or not?
Sure.
So at least in this moment in time, we're voluntarily doing it. And we have a huge outreach effort that we do where we're going harbor to harbor, handing out descending devices, trying to get all the boat crews to use them as well, showing people how to rig them. Down the road, they'll probably become a law. But at this moment in time, as long as everybody's using them, we're getting some credit for it. It's kind of like we're benefiting ourselves.
That's a good answer.
So,
yeah.
So use them.
Encourage the use.
Encourage
but, you know,
people
don't,
to use them.
Yeah, but we don't need it to be, you know, you don't need it to be a law. But I love it. That's a great answer. That's brilliant.
All right. Yeah, otherwise everybody would have a descending device on the dashboard of their boat and never use them.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phone lines.
You got it, man. Again, if you want to get your shot to talk to Ken, 833-288-0973. Let's talk to Goldie calling us from North Park this morning. Hi, Goldie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Happy shut-ins.
Hi, Goldie.
How you doing? I'll be very quick. Two things. I see this as a great opportunity to expand our sport fishermen. Get out and go surf fishing. Take your son who's driving you crazy. Surf fishing. How much does it cost, really? It's a very inexpensive way to go.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Number two is I would like to thank the Mexican government for their incredible stewardship of the environment. Thank God they're running that area. And the fees that we pay to have that privilege, please look upon that as essential to pay for the infrastructure that keeps those incredible places like Guadalupe open and healthy. Goldie out.
All right, Goldie. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Yeah, indeed. Mexico has become our fisheries partner, right, Ken?
Well, we spend a lot of time working with them. They come up here and visit, or we go down there and visit. And, there's a lot of interaction with them, both at the International Tuna Commission level, and they come up here at the Southwest Science Center for meetings. Communication's good. I mean, we know pretty much all of them on a first-name basis. And, they're trying to do a really good job.
Indeed.
Challenging time down there, though.
Yeah. Well, and thank you for all your – you have – listeners, you have no idea how hard this man works, and his staff, too. I mean, he's here – like every day.
We love it.
This morning at 4 a.m.
yeah.
Here, we're working on things. And I know, Pete, you mentioned it before, and I want to say it again, especially because I participate in both of those things equally, you know, both working and riding on our sport boats, but also being a private boater. Like, you and your staff do so much for our private boat fleet. Honestly, you know, just because you're good guys, I mean, you guys are paid for by the sport fishing boats. It is the Sport Fishing Association of California, which is funded by all of our sport fishing boats and landings, and yet you guys do tireless work for us as private boaters, making FMMs happen and making the temporary importation permits happen. Like, you don't need to do any of that, nor are any of us as private boaters contributing to the money that makes it all run, but you guys do it anyways because you're supporters of fishing. And I just, as a private boater, I want to take another, you know, second to nod my hat and say thanks for all the work you do on our behalf.
I appreciate it. Behind the scenes, we have a great board of directors of all the landings and the sport fishing companies. It's about 35 folks that volunteer their time unpaid to help with this work. And, you know, there's something in it for us. Good relations, and both with the private boaters as well as the government agencies we deal with. Everybody benefits from that. I mean, it's pretty simple. So we're at the point now, we got good relationships across the board. You know, this weekend, we've spent the weekend dealing with Congress and the Senate, but it's good relationships to lay the foundation for them being willing to talk to us and pay attention.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So where does the funding come from, Seth?
It's really simple. A tiny percentage of each boat's gross and landing gross goes into a central bank account, and that's the money that is used to fund all of our programs and pay for all of the work that we do as we, you know, buy plane tickets, go to Mexico or Washington, D.C., or what have you. And
so each boat owner is paying a fee to
every
that.
Single, every
so
time.
So part of the ticket that our listeners are buying, part of that money goes to
every
your
boat.
Efforts.
Every time you go on a SAC boat, a little bit of your ticket money goes into this account that we use to basically protect the opportunities for everybody to get to go fishing. And we have associate members who also voluntarily donate a fee into the account, like the fish processing company, Fisherman's Processing. They're members of SAC.
That's
we have
so
a
cool.
whole lot. You're a member of SAC.
Right.
We have a whole lot of people that all contribute because they see what's coming out of the pipe.
Right.
And it's good for everybody.
Yeah. Now, what if individuals want to help? What if guys that go fishing a lot, they want to support your efforts? Do you have other memberships?
Well, the associate membership is primarily intended for businesses. But what you could do to support us is patronize the tackle shops, the landings, the people that we deal with who are our members. So visiting, you know, Dana Wharf or up in L.A. at Pier Point, you know, when you go to those places, you know, buy your tackle there, buy your licenses there, go on those boats. And in the end, you're helping fund all of this. You're part of it.
There you go.
That's awesome, man.
All right, let's find out what's biting out there, Ricky.
You got it, man. It's time for the catch report. Hey, 2 years ago, Gamakatsu set out to develop a hook that was light enough for a live bait to swim naturally, yet strong enough to handle your next trophy, bluefin or yellowfin. The answer? The Gamakatsu Nautilus Heavy Duty. The new Gamakatsu Nautilus HD is available with a solid ring or as a standard hook. You can get it at selected tackle stores and be ready to get bit. And it is time right now to find out what's biting with your saltwater guy. He's got our fishdope.com report and is standing by right now. Good morning, Dave.
Well, hey, good morning, Pete, Rick, Ken. Great show this morning. Thanks for being here for us all. We all need this show as much as it. Anything going on. But hey, as far as fishing goes, the private boaters were out in numbers yesterday. I talked to a couple of bait barge guys. There was a lot of boats that went fishing yesterday. There was a lot of coverage. I had some of my clients over at Catalina. There was a couple of spots on the back side of the island where the yellows showed real good. One boat ended up with 5 fish there, up to 15 pounds. There was excellent bottom fishing all over the place. The ocean was flat, glassy, calm yesterday. I know my buddy Jimmy Decker and Eric ran over to Clemente, had really good rockfish fishing over there, and a couple nice lingcod. There was halibut. There was plenty of fish to catch. Let's just say that. The fishing was really good. People took advantage of the bait barges being open, the field docks being open. The private boaters were out big time yesterday, so... That just lets you know that fishermen want to go fishing no matter what's going on the planet.
That is very,
there's no
very
question
true,
about
man.
That.
Give us biting fish. We're going to make it happen.
Yeah, and there's local fish here. I mean, there's fish around, and you are. The Everingham Brothers Bait Company, I'm not sure about bait companies up and down the coast. Do you know, Ken?
Just said, to my knowledge, a lot of them are open, and and they're doing their best to keep you guys you know, in good fresh bait.
Yep.
So
you may have to use the pole, the net for social distancing to give them your money, but that all works.
When I went
sure.
by the boat ramp, there were row after row after row of trailerable boats.
Yeah,
so,
that's
I think
good.
A lot of people are enjoying their lockdown time.
Yeah,
exactly. On the water.
On the water with their kids.
Yeah. All right. And, of course, Dave, you're enjoying your lockdown, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm having a blast hanging out with Kelly, playing Yahtzee, watching TV, trying not to watch the news because we don't want to see what's going on the news. But, yeah, we're having a great time being locked down here in the house.
Well, great, Dave. Of course, your Saltwater Guide, lots of good new content on your Saltwater Guide and lots of good stuff. And, of course, fishdope.com. Danny and the boys, you've been communicating with them. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW. Hey, what a great fix. If you don't have Fishdope, you can keep informed about
exactly
what's going on. So when things get going again, you'll know what's going on and how to be ready to rig. So fishdope.com is your source. And how do we find you, Dave?
You guys, check out my website at yoursaltwaterguide.com. This is a great time to get in there and look at the videos and see what's going on so you'd be sharper when you get out there once they open this thing up and you get to go fishing. And also that fish dope thing, super important for all of us private boaters to see where the fish are biting at and know what's going on. Without the coverage of the sport boats right now, that's about the only spot we can go to see what's really going on because we don't have that coverage. It's unfortunate. We need to get those boats back out there fishing, Ken, as soon as possible.
We want to be there.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Captain Dave Hansen, your Saltwater Guide. Appreciate your report, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right, guys, talk to you next Sunday. Be safe out there. See ya.
All right, safe Thanks, and healthy Dave. To you, too, for sure. Let's go ahead and jump into those phones.
You got it. I want to remind you, the Catch Report is sponsored by Anza Knives, handcrafting knives in the USA for over three decades. Check out the brand-new Fish Pro series from Anza Knives, made from high-carbon steel, which holds a great edge, and it's easy to sharpen. The Fish Pro series are the finest fillet knives ever produced. Anza Knives also offers knives for hunting, military, law enforcement, and more. Check AnzaKnives.com for more details, or get the Fish Pro series right now at Fisherman's Processing. Phones are packed up. If you want to get your chance to get through, it's the first time we've had an open phone line since the beginning of the show. Great opportunity to call right now, 833-288-0973. Not only your chance to talk to Ken, but also your shot at winning a brand new pair of Maui Jim sunglasses. Hills and Ventura is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Hills.
Hey, good morning, guys. I have a couple questions for Ken. First one is I've heard the live remote from Mazatlan when you guys were down there, Tim Ekstrom, and the sound and the voice of the Mexican officials, I think Kona Pesca and those guys, my question is, they really like you guys, right? And then the other question is, does SAC have a seat at the table with the tuna, you know, commercial tuna, standard fleet, like the Australian partnership with Mexico with the tuna pens and, you know, all that? Do you guys get to, sit at the table on that?
So your first question, yeah, we're friends. That was actually the director of fisheries for the country of Mexico, Mario Aguilar.
That was so
amazing
cool
guy. Yeah, we're all friends. They very much welcome us. We talk to them regularly about everything under the sun, just good relationship there. And then with regard to the international stuff on – you know, the International Tuna Commission is where the commercial international seining community, as well as at times the recreational community, weigh in. The IATTC has an advisory group from each country, and we do have a representative, Mike Thompson, who is on that advisory group. So, yeah, we have a seat at the table. And the U.S. government, the way it works is each government has their representative, but we're advising that government representative on our recommendations and such. But in the hallways, everybody gets to interact and talk with each other. And, it's those relationships behind the scenes with Mexico help us there as well.
Indeed. Hey, Hills, good question. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right. When we come
back,
we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great information with Ken. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California Sport Fishing Voice on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Stop asking your smart speaker to give you the latest stock prices. You don't own any. Instead, listen to your favorite host talk about the Padres. Tell your smart speaker to play 97.3 The Fan. You can use your smart speaker to stream 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Hey, having a great time here this morning from the world quarters of Let's Talk Hookup.
That's
the office
right.
Is here in Boy Loma. Having a great time talking with Ken, man. It's been a fun show.
Yeah, indeed. And so happy that our listeners are with us and we're talking fishing and good positive stuff here with Captain Ken Franke from the Sport Fishing Association of California.
Yeah. You know, one thing, Pete, thank you so much for doing this because people want to hear something upbeat. I think everybody's sick about some of the news media stuff and it's been enjoyable being here, but more importantly, I think your listeners out there appreciate what you have gone through to pull this off, being able to set up remotely. I mean, I've watched what you've done the last 2 days. And anyway, thank you from all of us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for taking the time to be here, and it's our pleasure, and thanks to all the people that helped make that happen. It's such a pleasure to be able to talk about fishing and have Ricky here and have you here and have our listeners here. It's just we know it's going to come back. We know things are going to start happening here, and hopefully sooner than later. But one big thank you I want to throw out is to our advertisers, our supporters here. It wouldn't happen without our advertisers, and they've been so supportive. I mean, the long-range fleet, the landings and such like that, you know, want to thank them for supporting this show. And even though, you know, money's not coming in right now, they're still supporting us, and we want to say a big thank you to them because without them, this wouldn't happen.
We're going to get through this. This is just a matter of time. We're going to get through this, and then it's time to go fishing. And that's when we look forward to seeing all of you out there come on boats.
And we'll hope that day, knock on wood, comes very, very soon.
Yeah, we're ready for it.
Yeah, we're ready. All right, because the fish are ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's go ahead and jump back on the phones, Rick.
You got it, man. How about we talk to Doug? Doug's calling us from Montebello this morning. Doug, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Yeah, I was wondering about the one-year fishing license for the United States. Is it ever going to go through, for California at least?
You're talking about the
annual
year.
The 1 year, yeah. They're working on it, right, Ken?
Year from date of purchase, not calendar.
I just saw the bill go through again the other day. We'll keep you posted, but yeah, it's I think it's still on the ask, but we don't have it yet.
Yeah, but it's coming. I know CCA and Sport Fishing Association have been working hard on that. It's making progress, shall we say.
Yeah, I'll be honest, we haven't been directly involved as much other than in an advisory capacity and joining on letters and stuff. But there's momentum to do something like this for sure.
Indeed. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. How about next up we talk to Tom. Tom's calling us from Carlsbad this morning. What's up, Tom? Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Rick. And morning, Ken. Yeah, my question is regarding the FMM. That's a little bit confusing. But would you sign up for an FMM? You have 180 days to use it, but it's only a one-shot deal, correct? And then
correct.
I also have a question for – oh, okay, thanks. I also have a tackle question. One of my favorite rigs is Lightning Extinguisher. Going from mono to fluoro, great combination. Rick, what's your recommendation on that? Thank you.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Ken, your answer to that as far as
FMM.
Yeah,
the FMM.
The FMM, it's a 180-day potential period you can use it, but it is a one-time deal.
One entry.
You go on a 10-day trip or a one-day trip or a half-day trip. It's good for one entry, and that's it. We'd love to see the full 180 days,
yes.
And I constantly am asking them for that, but not yet.
Yeah. Gotcha. It's coming, though. I have a feeling that they're understanding that what we're doing, that they're going to cooperate with us on that.
We'll see. I mean, this is tough right now. They closed the border for non-essential travel. Yeah, maybe they're going to be open to those ideas when – We go to them with recommendations to increase visitorship to Mexico.
Positive feelings.
Let's turn it positive.
And then what do you think, Ricky?
The sliding egg sinker, a great way to fish, a great way to get a bait down in midwater calm, and I don't think that there's any changes that need to be made based on fishing newer styles. You know, I don't think you need to do anything different when you're using Spectra. I mean, the only thing maybe your connection, you want to tie a nice, clean knot so you're – sinker, if it does slide past a connection point and you know it's not able to slide back through, so you know, make sure your tag ends are trimmed nice and tight. You know, I like to tie an RP knot from my braid to my Seaguar fluorocarbon. So, but yeah, I don't think you need to make any real changes in regards to that at all. It'll still work just fine with, you know, newer style gear that we use.
Now, when we're talking about using sinkers for bluefin tuna, you want to rubber band those?
That's what I like to do,
yeah.
I think that rubber banded torpedo sinker is just the best way to go. It just doesn't allow any room for anything else to go wrong. You're not tying an extra knot. A lot of the times that sinker will come back up the line. It can easily be cut off with a pair of shears when it comes back to the boat. The sinker just goes away on its own. But it's just a way of attaching weight to the line without adding any extra knots or anything like that. You keep a direct connect to the fish.
Indeed. All right. Hey, thanks a lot. Good questions. Thanks
a lot
for the phone call this morning. Let's go ahead and jump back into it.
All right. How about this time we talk to John, who's calling us from Huntington Beach this morning. What's up, John? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Awesome show as always. My question for Ken is what's the latest science on, like, albacore populations and maybe the king salmon run off California, if you have any insight on how those stocks are doing?
Well, the last we had heard, the albacore were doing fine. We want to see them about 35 to 40 miles west of San Diego, preferably.
That'd be nice.
I like your
for sure.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, the salmon, I mean, what is it, a 3-year cycle? So, you know, hopefully they'll, right now it's dry, but hopefully they'll get a lot more water in the river up there. And hopefully they'll see up in the Northern California some good fishing.
Are they going to have a recreational salmon season this year?
Don't know that answer yet.
They haven't stated that yet.
I don't know that answer.
Yeah. All right. And, you know, there have been past years where we caught salmon off of San Diego and certainly a lot off of the LA and Orange County and Santa Barbara areas, and that could happen again. It's all about water conditions.
Totally.
Yeah, it's that river flow.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right, let's jump back into the phones. Again, if you want to get your opportunity to talk to Ken, not too late, 833-288-0973. Let's talk to Bruce. Bruce is calling from Lemon Grove this morning. Hi, Bruce. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys, for taking my call. The question is, I know the calicos have gone up to 14, and the populations seem like they're booming. They were everywhere. You ever think of a limit on the yellowtail? Because there's a lot of rats that just go, and that population I know is big enough, but has there ever been a limit proposed for those size limits?
Well, I think the core of it is that fish is moving up and down with the water temperatures. You know, there's a large portion of the year they're not up here, so we're on the fringe. I think it's one of those things that, you know, as far as our overall bag limits and such, when there's an opportunity, we have it, but the average angler is not going to be catching 10 yellowtail.
Yeah.
So I think that from what I, you know, in my limited experience, DFW and those folks, they try to give the fishermen maximum opportunity, and they regulate only when necessary. So I think that they're going to just carefully monitor everything. And if there's a need for a stock implementation with the bag limit, we'll be there to support them as well.
I like the limit that they put on the yellowtail, which I think a lot of people don't even realize that, you know, it is five of any size. And so if a,
that's in Mexico, right?
Well,
we have a bag limit
it's
up here,
both.
Too.
It's the limit of yellowtail here is five of any size,
five.
And then an additional five that have to be a minimum of a 24-inch fork length. Is that right? Whatever it is,
yeah.
I forget the exact number, but it's, you know, it's five of any size. So you're right. If a guy's, you know, if the opportunity is at smaller fish, you know, for them to take their full bag limit, only five of them could be of the smaller size, and the additional five have to be over a fork length, I believe, of 24 inches.
Yeah,
so.
I have to consult the DFW website for that.
But I like it. I think that's a cool. I think that's a cool regulation.
You know, especially because those smaller fish, they'll be so much bigger the following year.
Right,
sure.
But you know,
yeah.
It still allows a guy. You know, if that is what is available, it still has allowed a guy to go take a couple and bring them back for the barbecue. But you're not taking an over amount of small ones, and I like it. I just think that's
five
cool.
Fish is a lot of fish.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. That brings up the question I have. How do you, with Smart Fishing Association, interact with California Fish and Wildlife?
The Marine Region Director and I are on the phone regularly.
All the time.
Yeah, Craig Schumann's awesome.
He's a great guy.
Marcy Uramko, another person. She's the one who we deal with a lot on the council. Chief Stefanik, who's in charge of the Marine Region for
mm-hmm.
the patrol boats. I've talked to all of them within the last 10 days.
Yeah.
Really good people, and the communication is the best it has ever been right now.
Yeah.
That's great.
They've done a really good job. Like at the Fred Hall shows, we had Craig Schumann on the show, and then several of the chiefs and such like that. They're very, very willing to interact with the community.
I think the core of it is they're all three of them and their staff, it's all about common sense, but base all of our decisions on sound science. So we try to step up every time we can to help them with their projects. But I was on the phone with the chief yesterday, and it's all about common sense approaches to things, and that's great.
Yeah. So what sort of things do you interact with the DFW?
As an example, Marcy Uramko, she's the lead when it comes to the Pacific Fishery Management Council. So I'll call her and say, okay, here's what we're seeing on the ocean. We're on the water. I got all these eyes and ears.
You're giving input.
And we give her input, as well as the other council members. Louis Zim's on the council. We have Merritt McCrae's on the Ground Fish Advisory Panel. Those names are all people that are from our industry in an advisory capacity, and then the state then can move forward with decision-making on, well, should we go to 100 fathoms, or should we increase a bag limit or decrease a bag limit? We just had a call this last Monday with the state, and the topic was the lack of a stock assessment on a vermilion since over a decade ago, and that we may briefly have to go down, we hope it's brief, to a lower bag limit and to ask for our support on it. When we got done hearing all the logic behind it, we were like, yeah, that makes sense. And so,
united we're moving forward with, yeah, okay, we can live with this reduction. We understand what's going on, and what we want ultimately is a healthy stock. So that's an example there. Law enforcement, when I was talking to the chief yesterday, he was talking about logical approach of some certain issues involving importation of fish and saying, well, what do you think? Really good conversations. Craig Schumann, he's a Marine Region Director, super reasonable person to deal with, very accessible. And, again, it's globally, well, what do you think the public's going to think about this? And then we give them our input, and they go, okay, well, that'll help us make a decision.
I really liked Zach's involvement on filleting, you know, on the water, things like that. I know you guys did a lot of work with, you know, acceptable, you know, methods of filleting with, you know, now reduced limits on tuna. And I know sheephead was a thing that just happened again. And I know they look to you guys a lot because you're the sport boat fleet. And, you know, they say, hey, rather than just saying, hey, you can't fillet a tuna on the water because we want to identify it, they worked with you and our boats to, you know, to get around that.
You know, Ricky, you just gave two amazing examples. Sheephead, there was no legal fillet length for sheephead. DFW stepped up with us. We did the science on our boats, but they dedicated their staff to ride the boats to monitor it and finish it. And then that fillet thing, that was a federal issue. And DFW, the captain himself came down for the area and stood on the back deck of the Cortez as we filleted up a bunch of fish so that we could come up with an appropriate process with everybody there. And in both those cases, California Department of Fish and Wildlife was right there helping us solve the problem.
Because the way easier thing for them would have just been to say you can't fillet it.
Completely.
And then they have, you know, that's no extra effort on them, and it's easier for them to make the identification, and that would have been that. But through your help and through that work and, you know, both our anglers and sport boats and, you know, that work you did with the department, we still get to do the fillets.
Yeah, one other thing I'll mention on that is the wardens and a huge number of the department staff, they're all anglers. They go fishing with us. So, you know, they want to see, you know, they want to be able to have fish filleted and et cetera. It benefits everybody.
No doubt about it. All right, let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phone lines, Ricky.
Kevin in Pacific Beach is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Kevin? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment on how to preserve our rock cod. We've always seen them float away and get bird pecked, and that's been a thing in our entire life for ever, and these float. I created a release rig, and what it is, it's very simple, and I've used it for years. You just take a metal coat hanger and turn it down to an inverted upside-down V. Then you make a little loop on one side, and you put a 12 to 16-ounce weight on the lower end of the V on one side, and the other side is smooth. So you slide that through the gill rake, through the gill, down through the mouth. So the fish is going down as you descend them. And you just free spool it. You have one rod. It's just like having a sabiki rig. You have a bait rig always set. But you have your release rig, and you just descend them. And as soon as you get about 60 to 80 feet, you just pull on it. It slides out smoothly with no tag or anything. And the fish never comes up, and you can actually let them go down and release the air out of it.
I like that. That's a good rig.
Yeah, it doesn't work on all rock cod. I mean, Rick and I know we fish pretty deep sometimes. Some of those fish get blown up too much, but it works for local rockfish.
That's a good tip. That's a very good tip. There's a couple of great descending devices. The Rock Lease. Yours sounds great. Easy to make.
Great.
You can make it at home.
Yeah, make it
home. And the Rock Lease works.
Everybody,
I use the Rock Lease on my boat.
That's what I got.
It works
too.
Great.
The Sequalizer. That thing is my favorite of them. What I own is a Rock Lease, just because that's what I bought when they first came out. And whatever, 10 years now, the thing still works perfect. You know, no need to change it. But
And the Sequalizer is done by pressure, right?
Yeah, that's done by pressure, and that's the one actually that we distribute to all the SAC boats. We use it on much heavier gear with, you know, we use tuna cord because it has a lot more work. You know, we'll use those things over and over and over and over. We don't typically want to put them on a fishing rod just because there is so much wear and tear. But because we're involved in this whole science project involving cow cod for consistency. We wanted every boat to be the same. So all of them have the sequelizers. And the science projects that we've done where we actually had underwater transmitter receivers at the 43-fathom bank. We put 17 of them down, and we tagged and released a bunch of cow cod. We used a sequelizer to do that. That way we could verify the post-mortality. In other words, how long do they live after we let them go?
That's so cool.
That was really important. So that's why for consistency we're always using the same one.
So people who think that, you know, if a rock cod comes up and a cow cod caught in water that deep, you know, eyes are blown out, stomach blown out, you know, the opinion that people have, those things are dead anyways, you then tag that fish that most people would consider dead, sent it back down on a descending device, and you can track that thing when it swims by one of the monitors. You will, hey, that thing's clearly alive and still swimming.
We tagged a whole bunch of fish out at the 43, interesting results. Within 2 weeks, the Boccaccio recovered at the entrance to the L.A. Harbor. The Vermilion were caught at the Coronado Islands.
Wow.
And the cow cod from the 43. And the cow cod, we actually tracked them. They were swimming to within 90 feet of the surface at night, feeding on squid.
Interesting.
Get out of here.
Pretty amazing things we learned by tagging and releasing them.
Wow, that's cool. I can't believe you tagged a red on the 43 and then caught it at the Coronado Island.
Coronado Island.
That's pretty cool.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
so they travel.
I would have thought, I mean, I know that they move around, especially like in hard bottom areas. You know, they're there sometimes or not others, and I know those things move around with bait. I would have never thought they're moving
huge
distances like
that. We went back for a number of years to the 43, and in the same little cave, we saw the same cow cod year after year.
That's cool, man.
With your ROV.
Yeah, with the ROV.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, and
thank you, Kevin, for
developing that and using the descending device. This is good for all of us, for our future, for our rockfish fishing. I use them on my boat, and everybody should be using it. I want to make a comment. The 43, you can't fish rock cod on the 43.
You cannot fish rock cod.
Yeah.
Please don't. We've got tagged and released fish there. We don't want anybody tampering with it.
Yeah, and so it is a cow cod conservation zone. We've been talking about that. You're doing scientific research there. Do not fish at the 43.
Good call,
Please don't. Please don't.
Yeah, indeed. You can fish bluefin at the 43, but don't fish rock cod.
Right.
So if 100 fathoms comes back, and, you know, all this talk about deeper water and deeper water, that's something to mention, too, is that it is not necessarily the depth that you're fishing, but the depth away from coastline. Is that still correct?
Yeah.
Now we're down to 75 fathoms, just because a spot in the ocean comes up to above 75 fathoms doesn't necessarily make it legal.
That's correct. It's going to be the same RCA, rockfish conservation lines. We'll publish them on the SAC website as soon as whatever comes out of the pipe at the council. If you go to the SAC website now, all the 75-fathom lines are there. But all those high spots offshore, 60-mile bank and all that, at this moment in time are not open. Even if they go to 100 fathoms, it's going to be incremental. But they haven't created RCA lines out there for the 9-mile bank, the, you know, Tanner, Cortez. We don't have 100-fathom lines there. Those have unique depth restrictions. Like Tanner Cortez, it's 40 fathoms. That's in the cow cod conservation area. Those charts are on the SAC website and coordinates for resource. But, yeah, you're correct. If they go to 100 fathoms, it's going to be along the mainland coast, Clemente, Catalina, and the Channel Islands, and that's it.
Good information. So, question, and I'm not sure you're going to be able to answer this. Cow cod in Mexico. Can you catch a cow cod in Mexican waters and bring it back to California?
To my knowledge, no. It's illegal to possess it here, period.
Okay. What about a black sea bass?
One species is permitted. The rest of them are not.
One fish.
There's a whole different – a whole number of different types of groupers and such that are down there.
Yeah.
There is one species. You're permitted to bring one back. But the balance of them, no. They're all protected and illegal in the state of California to possess. They're illegal to import.
Yeah.
To the best of our knowledge.
Okay, yeah. And these regulations are complicated. And if you call the DFW office, they'll answer some questions if you have some questions about it. And it's kind of a, you know, the whole fathom line thing and everything like that. It's very confusing. But the SAC website has Very, very good. You can I've done it. You can print the maps out and see exactly where you can and can't fish.
And if you're going to do – it's just easier to release them. Just let them go. But like I said, if you were going to do something like that and bring a fish back, I would make sure that I had a printed declaration form ahead of time. You know what I mean? Like, it's just easier and safer to just let them go. But if you were going to bring back a species from Mexico that was restricted, whether it was via – you know, restricted no-take all the time or a rockfish during a closure thing, make sure you do your P's and Q's and have that form ready to go before you come back across
the
border.
Well, the one thing that's important, just to be clear, to the best of our knowledge, if it's illegal to possess that fish in this state, it's illegal to import it into the state. So we want to – that's the reason we frankly advocate don't bring any blacks back.
Yeah.
It just makes it easy.
Yes.
Don't bring cowcod back, you know. So it's just an easier way to manage it.
Yeah. I just mean more like your limit of reds if you go into Mexico and they're coming back during, you know, January, February kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's got themselves a brand new pair of Maui Jims. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network.
It's Yamaha's Reliable Choice sales event. From January 1st to March 31st, power up with the choice of additional warranty protection or up to $1,500 in dealer credit on eligible select new 2.5 to 350 horsepower four-strokes. For details, visit YamahaOutboards.com or your Yamaha Outboards dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here.
Offer ends March 31st, 2020. Subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models excluded. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Paisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. With a top-notch crew and amenities, once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sport Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check IndependenceSportFishing.com.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
When you put on a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses, the world begins to look different. Colors are more vivid. Contrast is clearer. Details are crisper. Wherever your vision leads you, beauty follows. With polarized lenses that eliminate glare and enhance color, Maui Jim sunglasses won't change the world. They'll change the way you see it. Color. Clarity. Detail. Maui Jim.
Fisherman's Landing has been the choice of sport fishing anglers for decades, with the largest fleet of long-range boats worldwide, complemented by Southern California's finest charter and open party fleet. Now is the time to book your long-range trips and charters, plus half-day trips aboard the Dolphin. Go to fishermanslanding.com and see trip availability, and even book your trip online. Stop by or call Fisherman's Landing in San Diego and book now at fishermanslanding.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, the big winner of a brand new pair of Maui Jim sunglasses going to Doug in Montebello. Doug, congratulations.
First time caller.
Yeah. first time today.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Congratulations, Doug. You're going to love those glasses, man.
Yeah, Adam selected the winner in the studio there, and thank you, Adam Klug, the program director at the Fan here, for all your hard work in the studio there. We sure appreciate what you do. And Ken Frankie, thank you for all that you do, man. You are just a workhorse. I mean, you were supposed to retire last year, and the fleet wouldn't let you.
The fleet said no.
So they said, no, you can't go. And we agree with the fleet. You can't go.
Well, anyway, thanks for the opportunity. And I look forward to seeing all of you folks out there climbing on our boats as soon as we turn on that open sign here shortly.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, I might add, is SAC office is always open to people that need help with FMMs, with fishing licenses, with temporary importation permits. So feel free to call, stop into the office.
Yeah, the office is right next to Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. And, yeah, the doors are open, and anybody in our office, we'd be glad to help any fisherman. The fact is, we're all fishermen, and we got to look out for each other.
Yeah, for sure. So thank you for that effort, too. We sure appreciate that. And thank you for everything that you guys do for the sport fishing fleet and private boaters and just fishing in general. It's really a great thing for sure. And thank you. Thanks, Rock Hard Rick, for being here. Appreciate that. And thank you all out there. And thanks again to all our supporters and sponsors and stuff for hanging with us during these trying times here. We'll be back next Saturday and Sunday. Eddie Dalmall from Van Warmer Resort going to be with us next Saturday. And then next Sunday, Ryan Dorr from Adventure and Camping. You talk about a great place. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to Adam. And we'll be back next week right here on the radio network.